Welcome to the XBLA Fancast episode 7 for Tuesday, April 5th, 2011. Brought to you by XBLAFans.com, your number one source for news, reviews, and previews on upcoming games related to Xbox Live Arcade. And I'm joined today by Andrew, I'm going to get your name right this time.
Yeah.
John and Todd. Well, nearly screwed up again 2 weeks in a row. Pretty bad when I have a sheet in front of me with your names on it. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about today, but why don't you guys introduce yourselves first?
All right, I'm Andrew. I'm a writer for XBLA Fans and some other places.
I am Todd. I'm also a writer for XBLA Fans, but unfortunately no other places.
And I am Jonathan Cole. I'm a contributor, I guess.
Yeah, and we're very glad to have John with us today. We have a lot of stuff to cover. You guys were talking about this before the show, but we just looked at some video from Hawken, a Met combat game. What did you guys think of it?
It looks so good. I don't even know what to do about it. It looks really, really nice. It's a little like, it's got kind of that drowned out grayish thing going, but I'm pretty sure that's going to change over time. And besides, of course, that's always been the mech look. We've got that kind of like big gray structures and stuff hanging around everywhere. It looks really cool. Just hopefully, the only thing I can say that's bad about it is just add some more color, and it's going to probably be the best thing to happen to mech since, I don't even know, whenever the last good thing was.
Is it confirmed for XBLA? Because it looked so good, it just looked like it could not possibly be a downloadable title. Does anybody know, has there been confirmation that yes, this is an XBLA game? Or
I think it's one of those nebulous, like, we're, you know, trying to focus on, you know, digital platforms, but you know, you're playing with a 360 controller, so wink, yeah. Wink, that okay. Kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've actually confirmed it, but you know, it's pretty much there.
Yeah, I think he hit it right on the head right there. And it's one of those games where it's like, we want to bring this to Xbox Live Arcade. It's just, will we be able to? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Because it's always, you know, a business decision what platforms the game's going to come out on. And it depends on, you know, what the first party console makers are willing to, you know, allow, especially when it comes to Xbox Live Arcade with the whole you need to be an approved developer or publisher to be able to get anything out on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah. And another thing that it's sitting in the back of my mind is it looks like this, if this is a downloadable game, this will be a huge download. And there's been some discussion on the site this week about the 2 gig limit for XBLA games. And I just wonder how something that looks that great can fit under 2 gigs, unless it's like 3 maps or something like that, something similar to like what Battlefield 1943 did.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it looks pretty good, but it's running under Unreal Engine 3. So I have to imagine that at this point, Unreal Engine 3 is pretty streamlined. You know, like they have a lot of good compression stuff going on. So maybe, you know, they're able to kind of stretch it out, kind of like Shadow Complex. I mean, that game looked really good, but fit pretty well into the size restrictions. So I feel like, you know, maybe this could pull it off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know I have a lot of full retail games on my Xbox Live hard drive now, and they're not that big when you actually look at them. A lot of those actually fit under, you know, 3 gigs. So, I mean, it wouldn't be too unrealistic to expect something like this to fit under 2.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely something we can see, because as, you know, the life cycle of these consoles is getting longer. The compression software is just getting better and better.
Yeah, it definitely looks like something I'm interested in when I have no interest in mechs. I read the headline, I'm like, I don't want to see another mech game. But then I watched the video and I was completely doing a 180 like 3 minutes later, because it just looked awesome. The only complaint I have about it at this point is I wish it was third person instead of first, because that's just my personal preference.
I was picking up on that. I was thinking it's kind of interesting because you've got Trench coming, which of course is third person, and then you've got Hawken, which is, well, you know, potentially Hawken, which is first person. And it's kind of funny just to see, like, two mech games, first of all, not a very popular theme. All of a sudden, bam, mech games. And then also they decided to take, you know, the opposite perspectives. So it's kind of cool just to see those two kind of side by side. Though I guess, like I said, we don't even know if Hawken is technically an XBLA game yet.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
I will say this much. Oh, kid, go.
Go for it, Todd.
Okay. The one thing I love, I'm with Andrew on the whole third person's probably a little bit better, especially when you're in something as clumsy as a mech, and you kind of like, no one has the experience of driving a gigantic, mechanical destruction machine. So it's kind of nice to have that better perspective. But I absolutely love the sound work that they did from inside that cockpit. It sounds fantastic. I mean, I'd imagine if I was in Smyrna, that's what it would sound like. I think that's kind of what got me, actually, at first, was the sounds.
Yeah.
The sound work.
Yeah, I hope they can integrate to some type of massively destructible environments, too, because that would just make that game just tops, you know, if they could, because like the trailer or whatever it was, the gameplay footage showed all these like half wrecked buildings. It looked kind of like LA would look after like a post-apocalyptic war or something crap like that. And I would love to see like a game like that where you can, if the mech is hiding behind cover that much, you can knock like a building down on it or something like that. That would just be amazing.
Moving on to three games that we know for sure are going to be coming out for Xbox Live Arcade. We have Blood Rain Betrayal, and then they also have announced a date for Might of Magic, Clash of Heroes, and Warlords, an old Atari game, is going to be returning to the system as well this summer. So what do you guys think about those? Let's start off with just Blood Rain.
I got nothing. I've never been in it.
Yeah, it's hard to really say anything because the trailer, I think, was 18 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
4 seconds of splash screen. So,
yeah, I guess it's trying to tap into my nostalgia, which I don't have any because I never played the original Blood Rain. So I guess I'm just looking forward to a more informative trailer, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm definitely also waiting for something with some actual gameplay footage, just because, I mean, we got a whole 18 seconds with this. And honestly, for someone like me who doesn't have that nostalgia to this game, it's just like, big whoop. It's a Nazi killing vampire? That sounds kind of cliche to me. But I'm like, okay, let's go for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something I'll probably definitely check out when it actually has more info. But right now, I'm not really that excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's exactly the same way I feel. I'm meh right now, but, you know, you could show me something and change my mind. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we're all in agreement there. It's just kind of like, eh.
So did any of you guys play Might and Magic for the DS when it came out?
Yes. That was a great game. I was thoroughly surprised because, like, I've actually been a follower of Might and Magic just in general. I loved it, and I heard it was going to be a puzzle game. I was like, what are they doing to my game series here? And I picked it up, and it was very fun. It was like I never would have thought of making a game like that. It's pretty impressive just that they thought that it came together that way.
Yeah, I just recently picked it up kind of on a whim. I was kind of feeling, you know, a puzzle game in my future, and I picked it up and burned right through it in probably a week. But still, like, managed to wring out, I don't know, an embarrassing amount of gameplay because I just enjoy the kind of grind of the puzzles. And I think that's probably a good sign of a good puzzle game. So I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, the trailer that was posted on the site, I mean, looks really fantastic. I mean, it takes all of the art and stuff and really does a great job bringing it into, you know, HD with full animations and stuff like that, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'd never played it when it came out on DS, so it's something I'm definitely looking forward to as well. And then I was looking at the trailer and stuff for Warlords, and that game just looks kind of crazy to me. It looks a lot like a tower defense meets Breakout type of game, and I mean, it's just really cool to see some of these Atari games, you know, back from way back when, coming back to life on Xbox Live Arcade. I know they've been bringing back a lot of games recently. I know they have Yar's Revenge and a couple other things coming along that are, you know, games that came out way before I was even born.
Yeah, but can I ask a question here real quick? How many of you actually own the Warlords game that's available on Xbox Live Arcade right now? Anybody? Okay.
Nope.
Well, it's a solid game for 400 points, and I just don't really see why I want to buy the exact same game with a few tweaks again. Like, I wonder what they're even going to call this one. Like, Warlords Revenge, Warlords 2, what? Because the one, there's...
Warlords
8. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. A few years ago, Atari came in with, I think, 6 titles on XBLA, all 400 points. And a few of them sucked, but a few of them were great. And Warlords is one of those few that were great, in my opinion. And I just don't see why we need another one.
I would say, I mean, I didn't play that game, so you could probably answer this way better than me. Did that have any sort of updates to modern standards, or was it like what did it have, like, multiplayer and stuff? Because I mean, that's the kind of killer app for these remakes.
Yeah,
and stuff,
the Atari games have a refurbished graphics kind of deal, like a new style of graphics. And on games like Asteroids, it totally sucks. You want to go back to the old school graphics. But on games like Battlezone and Warlords, it was great. And it had Warlords in particular had 4-player online against each other. It had a pretty nice single player experience. The only thing that really sucked about it was the original port, because it was insanely impossible. And
well, yeah, that sounds kind of weird. I'm seeing here that they have a co-op for up to 4 players, which I don't know. You didn't say that, like 2v2 co-op siege mode apparently, and free for all. So it sounds like they're trying to do a couple things to change it, but yeah, I mean, I see your point. It's hard to really justify, you know, remaking the same game that they kind of, you know, half remade in the past. So I don't know. The trailer kind of made me a little confused. It didn't really show off the actual gameplay. It kind of just showed like stuff happening and a floating camera around the thing. So I really don't know. I'd like to see some gameplay and maybe I'll check it out. But I mean, at worst, this will make some new fans for it, and maybe in the future we'll see something, you know, new and updated and kind of, you know, more iterative rather than just, you know, cranking out the same kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And we also have another announcement by Just Cause developer. I'm blanking on their name. I think it's Avalanche Studios. Announced Renegade Ops. Yeah, my computer froze, so my notes are gone. So we're just going and winging this. So they've announced Renegade Ops. So what did you guys think of that?
You know what I thought? It said dual stick shooter right in the description, so I'm in.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Honestly, this came out right after we recorded a podcast where we said someone should make a top-down racing type of game with dual stick controls. They kind of missed the second half of the thing because we said it should have a war mage in it, not, you know, be another one of these military type things. So, I mean, if they could have brought it into a more, you know, unique environment, I'd definitely be even more all about it, but it honestly sounds great.
Yeah, I think it.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, it's a driving dual stick shooter. We just covered that.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious just because I'm like, this is literally what we said we were hoping someone would do, and then the next day we saw this. So, I mean, I'm really hoping that they do something good with this. I mean, they said a lot of their information is coming from looking at Shadow Complex and what they've done to Super Metroid. So they want to do the same thing with old school mechanics, you know, using the looks of today. And that's something I definitely can get behind. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that they actually, you know, stick to their word on this one, because this sounds like it could be really awesome. Because, I mean, I know personally I've loved Just Cause, even though it's not one of the best games. It's one of those games that's just fun to pop in, and there's just so much stuff you can do with it.
Yeah, I never played Just Cause, but my roommate played it a lot. I used to just watch him attach to different things, and just he's like one of those people that don't play the game to play the game. They just go in and see how they can destroy things, and they never really get anywhere in a campaign.
No, people who play Just Cause don't understand how to actually play Just Cause. The whole point of the game is to not play the game. If you actually do missions, you're not going to have fun. What you want to do.
But don't you want to get the story in that game?
I don't think there was a story last
voice
time
acting.
I just remember.
The voice acting in that game, it must be a joke. Like, they couldn't have all been in a room like, let's get these voice actors. Yeah, they are doing a good job.
See, what you didn't know is it's actually one person doing all the voices. God, so that's actually pretty impressive. No.
Is it really one guy?
No, I'm joking.
It's Seth MacFarlane.
I'd believe you.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole thing I'd do with Just Cause, I would literally, you know, get a helicopter, go as high up in the air, jump out of it, and try to see if I could land inside it afterwards and do other random stuff, like going through the blades while they're spinning and just jump as far away and try to hook back on. And it was just fun. I mean, you don't want to actually do the actual game. You want to, you know, surf on your airplane and snipe people.
Yeah.
I mean, what other game actually lets you surf on an airplane while sniping?
I don't know of one.
I was, and, you know, working it back to Renegade Ops, they didn't talk about the mechanics, but I'm just wondering, like, so what are we going to get to do? It's just because, you know, you look at Just Cause 2 and you say, man, like, if I looked at a street on Just Cause 2 top down and imagine myself with a vehicle, like, I don't know, like how much of the fun parts of Just Cause 2 make it into that kind of gameplay. So I'm very interested to see in terms of, you know, like what kind of silly over the top things we're going to get to do, or if they're going to try and make this a little bit more serious, or, you know, I'm very interested to see that.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that too. I mean, they haven't said a ton. They have said it's going to be powered by the same engine that did Just Cause 2, which honestly, that game did look really, really good compared to the first, especially. And it's going to be nice that they've said multiplayer is going to be a big feature, especially with the ability to play split screen, which is something I know I'm always looking for. It's always nice when you have the option to play both split screen and over Xbox Live, so you're not forced to do one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're only going to do one, do Xbox Live. not that many people play local, and I'm sick of seeing that as an only option in some games.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim Cough.
When you're playing local, it's something that you kind of grow out of once you pass, you know, the high school, college age, and you're like, you know what, most of my friends don't even live, you know, 5 minutes away, and if they did, they have lives, and they can't, you know, just at the drop of a hat, come play Scott Pilgrim with me.
Yeah.
The key thing to do is have girlfriend mode. That's a pretty good mode. If you can get your girlfriend to play local co-op with you, then you can just pretty much ride that out.
Yeah, and speaking of some indie games, we've been seeing some recent rating skewing, according to a lot of developers, and it looks like all of a sudden the college lacrosse games just burst to the top, and now a lot of the games that used to be at the top are dropping dramatically, and it's something that you don't want to have to see is the misuse of ratings, because with Xbox Live indie games, they're so poorly placed on the dashboard.
Yeah.
That the only real way you're going to know about them is if you can read honest ratings through the actual dashboard. And the thing I don't understand with this is the fact that these Xbox Live indie games are like, the only way to really rate them, you could make it, is so you have to do it through the Xbox. And if you did that and you made it so they had to purchase them, you wouldn't have this misuse of ratings.
Yeah, it's the thing, right there, you hit it on the head. If it was only available to be rated after you purchased it, you'd have a lot more accurate ratings, and unfortunately, I can go in right now and just screw over whoever I want and give them 1-star ratings all over the board, and that's a problem too, if you ask me. Like, why is there no ability to give a 0-star? Like, I've played terrible games before that don't even deserve that star, so I I really would like to give a 0-star, and it's just... The ratings is definitely, like, the top 50 on the indie games section of the marketplace is definitely a place you want to be if you're going to get noticed, and the top downloaded is also a place you want to be, although that's more like gimmicks sometimes. You'll see, like, that Baby Maker Extreme on there a lot, not to say that that's a bad game, but that's obviously a gimmick, and good for him, you know, he's making money off of it. But another thing too is it's now Kotaku's like top 10 picks or something like that. I think that's huge if you can get on there. So there's a couple places that you can get on the dashboard and get your game seen by the masses. But even still, I mean, the indie games is hidden. It's the third option on the games list. It's not easy to find. It's tough for them, and to have somebody like going in and purposely rating their games low. It sucks. And especially if you're the guy that, like, they found out the lacrosse guy is possibly the guy at fault. Man, it really sucks for him because, I mean, it gets your game to the top, but now you're known for being at the top because you did all this shadiness.
Well, what's funny is if you actually go to their Facebook thing, it's just their post actually said, we just want, you know, our fans to give it a 5-star rating. And, you know, that community, the lacrosse community or whatever, has, you know, hundreds of thousands of fans on Facebook. So they all went and gave it, you know, high ratings. But the problem was, the guy didn't actually say this, but a lot of them went and gave bad ratings to the games that were above it just to move them down even quicker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's not necessarily his fault, but it's something that they're going to get blamed for, especially.
Yeah, it's definitely linked to your game now. And it kind of sucks in a way, too, because that lacrosse game is a solid game. For $5, that's one of the more polished games I've seen on the indie game marketplace.
And I think one of the main problems with the indie games, is, besides the whole placement on the dashboard and the inability to actually even know they exist, is the fact that they don't have achievements. So most of the people I know refuse to play them, despite the fact that a lot of them are very solid games and a lot of bang for your buck for, say, maybe a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I have a lot of friends who like very particular games, a lot of dual stick friends, and only a few of them bought Biology Battle, which is one of the better dual stick games I've ever played. And it's simply because there's, in their mind, there's no reason to play a game if you can't get achievements. Like, that's the world we've come to now, and somebody needs to help out the indie developers and let them compete in this world and give them like 100 gamer score per game or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's someone needs to be Microsoft. Yeah,
that's definitely on Microsoft. Definitely.
Yeah, that right there is definitely on Microsoft. But as far as just coverage on these games, it just stinks that there's so many that come out that, I mean, even a site like us that likes to focus on, you know, those indie type of titles can't review every single one. I know right now we have a backlog of like 35 indie titles we're going through over the next month. And, I mean, a lot of these are really great games, and we're going to have the opportunity to give away a lot of these games, and that's going to be a blast coming up later this month. We're going to have a ton of indie coverage.
Yeah, I just want to take 1 second here and say about a recent indie game I found. It's called Pew Pew Pew, Pew Pew Pew, Pew Pew Pew. Yeah, I know that's a ridiculous name, but it is one of the more innovative games I've ever seen because it uses audio input as the controller. You're a jetpack guy. It's a side-scrolling shmup, kind of like Aegis Wing or whatever that free one was. And one guy controls the little dude's jetpack by going like up and down, and the other guy goes pew pew pew, and he shoots. And it's an insane amount of fun if you have somebody there playing with you. I took it over to my cousins this weekend, and we had a lot of fun. My aunt saw it, and she was amazed by it. She had to chime in on it, and we were trying different ways to get it to shoot really fast, like chewing food and stuff. It was really fun. So check that out. That games like that are the reason why we need better like promotional tools for the indie games.
Yeah, definitely.
And we had a really busy release week this last week. We saw Strania, Islands of Wakfu, and Russian Attack Expatriate, along with the fact that this week we're going to see Dishwasher Vampire Smile, which the only reason I bring that up is because Todd here actually got to play an early release of the game. And the embargo lifted this morning, so he's going to be able to talk about it. But let's start off with Strania. I know Andrew reviewed that, so do you have any comments about this? I know we got a lot of feedback on our review when we posted it.
A lot of people are hating on my review, and that's fine, but I just don't understand like how a hardcore shmup audience can call me out on a iffy review saying that the game was bad. Like, if you've played a lot of shmups, and I definitely have, this is clearly an average shmup. It's not terrible, but it's not good. At the end of the day, I will play Trigger Heart 10 times before I'll play Strania once. You know, it's like one of those kind of games. It's insanely easy until you get to a boss, and then it's insanely hard. It's just like terribly paced in that sense. Like, you don't learn any skill in the level because you don't have to. And then you get to the boss and you're like, oh, now what do I do? And it's just, It's an average game, you know, try it. If you love shmups, give it a shot. If you don't love shmups, you're probably not going to like this game because it is very Japanese. There are even sections of the in-game play where some of the like power-ups or like your weapon upgrades are actually written in Japanese character. And I'm like, I have no idea what that means. It has like a number 9 in some Japanese characters. And I'm like, okay, whatever, sure.
Yeah, a lot of people may not realize this, but a lot of our reviews are going to have to be written for, you know, a mainstream audience. So whereas a lot of the people who say they love shmups might say, oh, this is a great game, you should buy it. For the majority of the gamers out there, they're going to look at this and they're going to be like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So they'd rather sit back and play, you know, one of the top, you know, shmups out there, because it's a game, it's a genre that they're just not as passionate about as the normal person, like a normal shmup fan.
Very niche audience.
Yeah, it's a very niche audience.
It's a very hardcore audience.
A huge, broad appeal. So when you're going to have to say that, you know, everyone out there should buy a game, it's going to be harder to say that about a game with such a niche appeal. Yeah. Whereas, I mean, a shmup fan may actually just be like, oh, God, it's another shmup. I'm going to buy it, of course. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a lot different.
And that's the attitude I had going into it. I was like, oh, it's a shmup. I'll buy it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't stand out like other shmups that are the exact same price on Xbox Live Arcade. So if I'm going to recommend one, it is definitely not Strania.
Yeah, for sure. And I know a couple of you have played Islands of Wakfu. I downloaded that the other day, just played the demo, and I was like, this game is incredibly unique. And that was the first thing that just hit me. I was like, this is not your typical Xbox Live Arcade game. So no. You guys have any comments about this?
This is just, this in one word, refreshing, because everything about this game is just like constant like new mechanics, great music. It looks great. The art style is great. I love the fact that if I hit the Y button and turn into a dragon, I can turn it into a dual stick shooter if I want to. I mean, this game has everything. Anybody else give it a shot?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, John.
I just played maybe about 15 minutes through the demo, and I mean, I would say the most striking thing is definitely the art style. I mean, it's just a beautiful game, and I don't really know anything that kind of taps into that same thing. Kind of has like a cel shaded kind of thing, but I don't really know how to describe it. But it's definitely unique in that aspect, and yeah, I really like the controls and how you move through the world and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm definitely gonna check it out. I'd like to play more. I just didn't have enough time.
Yeah,
good. I will. I'm gonna speak on behalf of some of my friends. I actually thought it was. I agree with Andrew, but some of my friends were like, "Oh, it's really slow, and this just takes forever to get anywhere." And it's. I'm just kind of like. I'm wondering. I guess that would. That seems like it might be the feeling that maybe more traditional gamers might be getting from it. Because I'm looking back on it, it was a little bit slow. I mean, you know, but you. If you got into it I certainly did, then you definitely. I mean, there's a lot there. It looks great. There's the sound, the environment, the feel of it's really nice. It's, even though, yeah, okay, from a gameplay perspective, it does start kind of slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts a little slow, but I feel like it's excusable in this case. Like it's not like grueling slow, or like you're not like unnecessarily grinding through hordes of enemies to get from point A to point B. It just, I don't know, it seemed well paced for me. And
yeah, I mean, there's kind of a difference between, you know, like a slow ramp up and something that's kind of just so deep into its own mechanics and stuff like that. I mean, I recently played the newest Golden Sun game for DS, and that game was really slow in the beginning because they bogged it down with about 100 lines of dialogue in the first like maybe 5 minutes. And this game isn't really like that. It kind of slowly brings you through all the mechanics, but I mean, I don't feel like it is, you know, particularly belabored in any parts. It's just kind of relaxed more than anything else.
I definitely agree with John there. I felt like it was a very relaxed pace. It wasn't something where they're like, if you're ADD with your gaming, you're going to have a hard time with it, just because the first three missions were kind of almost fetch missions where you really didn't have to do anything. It was more or less just showing you some of the mechanics. But the environments were just beautiful. So, I mean, it was something I didn't mind doing, especially because I was playing it, you know, late at night, and I just didn't really feel like doing anything. So I was like, this is great. It's peaceful. I don't have to, you know, pay attention at long periods of a time. It was fun to play.
Yeah.
And we also saw Russian Attack Expatriate released. Did any of you guys get a chance to play that?
I did. Anybody else?
Yeah, I played it all.
Yeah. Go ahead, John. What did you think of it first?
Well, the first thing is when I saw how it looked, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, another side-scrolling game that kind of looks a little bit like Shadow Complex, even though I knew it wasn't going to be like Shadow Complex because, you know, the emphasis on Russian Attack is more stealth and, you know, kind of a brawling combat thing. But it was one of those games that I was just really hoping would be a little bit better than it was. Because I honestly can't really say it's something everyone should buy, but I think you should probably give it a try, especially if you're into that type of game. I know Steve reviewed it for the site, and I don't think he was as kind to it as I'm about to be, but I actually did enjoy it for the most part. But I mean, there's definitely some problems with the game, and it's not going to appeal to everyone. And it's largely got stealth kind of combat sections, so that's going to have to be something you don't mind doing. I know a lot of people just hate stealth combat. I know I've heard that from Ross on more than one occasion, especially when he was playing Beyond Good and Evil. So what'd you think of it?
I thought a little less of it than you, but a little more of it than Steve. I don't know. I didn't think it was greatly terrible when I demoed it. I was playing through it, and the whole time I'm just thinking, like, I'd rather be playing the Wakfu demo again or something. Like it just didn't – it wasn't something that – it didn't leave me wanting to go to that next step. Like I didn't, when it says something like you have to find three key cards, I didn't care if I found those three key cards, you know, I'm just like, all I'm going to do is stab eight more guys looking for some key cards. It's funny you should say like Shadow Complex, because the whole time I'm thinking like, oh, this game would be fun if I could just shoot these guys. I don't want to have to hide in the doorway and sneak behind them. And I know that's what makes it its own game, but
yeah.
At the same time, I think most people's natural reaction when they play this game is going to be, where's my gun? Like, this guy's such a badass and he's got his knife. How about he goes and finds a gun?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you're like, why you bring a knife to a gunfight? And then you realize, oh, it's actually a knife fight. I don't want to have a knife fight. It's just not as much fun. It's just not as entertaining. And it's one of those things where, I mean, the mechanics are just a lot harder to do for that type of combat to just make them fun. And yeah. I mean, it relies a lot on stealth, and a lot of people do not like stealth. So that's instantly going to throw off about half your market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was actually reading the review at IGN, and they gave it a 4.0 out of 10. Totally tore it apart. And I was watching some of the gameplay videos, and it's pretty obvious just even in the videos, you know, stuff like it looks almost exactly like the art style of Bionic Commando. It really looks like a ripoff in that respect, and it feels like, you know, I mean, this is kind of a remake in the same way, because there was an original Russian Attack game, and unlike Bionic Commando, where some of those, you know, it was a little bit more charming, it had a little bit more of a, you know, kind of lighthearted story and stuff like that, this really doesn't have that necessarily, you know, from the original game, and doesn't really necessitate a remake in that sense, you know, so it could take advantage of those graphics and, you know, just stuff like really kind of slow animations, mm-hmm. and the stuff that you were talking about with you know, actually getting into that kind of gameplay just makes this look entirely unappealing to me.
Yeah.
I don't think
it definitely does have some problems, like I was saying. I mean, the story is pretty much non-existent for the most part, because anytime you have to do one of these things where you just have to read so much text, you're like, I just don't care.
Nobody cares.
You just want to skip it. And I mean, the controls for this type of game are a little too imprecise, because, I mean, when you're going to play a stealth type combat game, they need to be perfect. Because, I mean, you don't want to be so frustrated by hiding for, you know, 3 minutes to wait for a guy to walk by and then pop out, and for some reason it didn't work correctly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just not close enough to where it needs to be for that to be able to be fun. So, I mean, that's its big problem. But, I mean, it's definitely something that you should try if you're into, you know, 2D games, especially stealth-type games.
Yeah, decide for yourself, definitely, because, you know, you're either going to go one way or the other really hard. There's no in-between values for this. You're either going to like it a lot or not like it at all. And it's funny you brought up the IGN review. Arthur Geese wrote that, and in my opinion, he had the best tweet to promote it I've ever seen in my life. It said, "I reviewed the new Russian Attack game. It's like poop from the butt." I was like, you know what? If you write that, I'll click on any link you put, because that was hilarious when I seen that.
All right, and we're going to move on real quickly to a game coming out this week that is actually a lot better. And we definitely recommend checking out Dishwasher Vampire Smile. I know Todd has been playing 40 hours, according to Raptor. I just looked it up.
I have put in 43 hours in this game. I love this game. I'm not ashamed at all. When the first Dishwasher Dead Samurai came out, I looked at it, I'm like, okay, you know, it's kind of like indie-ish. It looks a little unpolished. I mean, I like the gore. It's kind of cool. So I really wasn't too into Vampire Smile. And I started reading up and on it, and like looking at some of the kind of things that they're doing with it, some of the changes, and I'm like, oh, wow, this actually looks like it might be pretty good. And it looks very nice now. It looks very, you know, very, like I said, polished. And so when I got to playing it, I just had so much fun going to town on all these black and white little enemies running around. And it's an absolute blast. I mean, the combo mechanics is very simple. It's just like, I mean, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's a case of you got your light, your heavy, your grab, your jump, and then the right stick is used for evasion. And so you have two characters. They play a little bit differently, but for the most part, you can teleport with them. So it's an absolute ton of fun to just be going into combo. You see something comes in off the side, and you teleport, and you go into a new combo on a different guy, and, you know, someone's trying to come in from above you, and you just take them out with the shotgun, and it's really fun. It's really easy to do. It's not like, the controls are really tight. It's just super excited.
I can't tell how you feel about this game.
So what are you thinking?
The grunting didn't really, give me an indication there.
So do you think it was a little easier than the first one? Because I know a lot of people were turned off by the difficulty of the first one.
I don't know about for the dishwasher, because he has two weapons that he cannot teleport with at all.
Yeah.
But Yuki, the prisoner, the newly introduced character, his stepsister, can teleport with any weapon. So if anything, she'll be a lot easier to play with, because I mean, if bullets, rockets, big sword, small sword, grenade wielding zombie, you can teleport out of it. And if you get hit, you'll take like half the damage, but it'll do like the slow motion thing when it teleports. So I think just being able to teleport infinitely by holding the stick, apparently you had to actually keep tapping the stick in the first one. So mm-hmm. if you just hold the stick, you can just go all you want. If you're playing co-op, I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but like if your buddy dies and you don't want to die, you can literally, for the most part, teleport, just keep teleporting to the top of the screen and wait for your friend to come back. I mean, it's hard. In especially some of the boss battles, it will be hard. But when you die, you literally respawn in the room right before you died.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not saying, oh, you died, okay, have fun, play another, half an hour or something like that. You can jump right back in where you died, right where you left off. It seems like he, or Ska Studios adhered to the issue of difficulty and probably the issue of punishing kind of death. Permissible.
My guess is that it actually is a little bit easier this time, just because there's an achievement called Game Reviewers Shall Be Pleased, and it's for unlocking Pretty Princess difficulty. So something tells me that he took into consideration that a lot of the people, have to review his game may not be that great at it. Though,
yeah.
Thankfully, it sounds like Todd has played a lot of these games, so, I mean, he can give you a pretty good perspective on it.
43 hours, Jesus.
Yeah, 43 hours is a lot for any game. That's a ton for an Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yeah.
I think you may have the most, time spent on anything for any review this site has ever done.
Well, there you go, right? But
it depends if you count
cool.
reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I'm all over the leaderboards and stuff, too. I'm kind of proud, even though it's only like on one of the co-op missions, literally it's just me and my friend that I played with, but it's just the game is so fun.
I'm
still playing. I mean, I was playing it an hour ago, and I'm gonna be playing it next this weekend. I'm having people over and stuff, and there's a friend of mine who's dying to play the game. It's the arcade mode is also really cool. They make you use certain weapons, so it's kind of cool. If I'm playing co-op, I may have the violence hammer, which is basically a big pole rammed into a cinder block with a bunch of pointy things on it wrapped in barbed wire, and then I'll have that, and my teammate might have the katana. So I'm playing this sort of slower, but more powerful kind of setup where he's got the combo thing going on, the speed, I can't teleport, and I really like taking away a step away from the story, going to the arcade and say, okay, let's test our skill. Because on people who don't do so well at that game might not like the arcade mode. It does get hard, not gonna lie. But if you do, you're going to have a blast. Like I lost one of the missions, I think 20 times. I'm gonna beat this mission. I'm like, get me another soda or something. I don't know. I gotta beat this. And so I think any game that gets you to do that without you being mad at the game, but like more like, oh, I want to beat this rather than, God damn it, I need to beat this.
Yeah.
It's a case of that's good. That's a really good sign.
I think it's honestly great when a game is difficult enough that it's one of those things where it's not the game's fault, it's my fault. And it's very clear because the controls are precise and what they're asking you to do is not impossible. And it's actually, within reasonable a realm of what you should be able to do. And it's just something that pushes you and actually makes you want to feel like you have done something that is actually an accomplishment more than, just sitting there pressing X a lot and just moving across the screen.
Yeah.
And I know this past week has been Brawler Week for us, and we've been looking at a bunch of games like Dishwasher Vampire Smile. And we talked about Castle Crashers a lot last week, so I'm not even going to bring that up. But do you guys have anything in particular that you just like out there that people maybe not have played or any comments you have about that? I know we've been doing a lot of content, written content up on the site, so people need to check that out too.
I liked both of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games on XBLA, the 400 and the 800.1. I think those are both worth checking out. And I think one that goes under the radar that's worth checking out, it's definitely not a buy it, it's a try it, is the Final Fight Double Impact, because there's two games there, and it's a pretty solid game for 800 points. So I think you know, anyone that hasn't checked those out should definitely go do so.
Yeah, I definitely think Final Fight, if you enjoy the one, like, you know, demo, it's got basically two games for the price of one, so it's definitely worth checking out if that's something that you're going to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been playing a little bit of Retro City Rampage, which I'm kind of lucky in the sheer fact that that will not be coming out till this summer. And that game honestly looks like it's going to be great. It has a lot of references to just random 80s and 90s pop culture. And it's one of those games that you're going to be playing and you're going to be like, holy crap, did he actually put that in here? Yeah, he did. And I mean, I was just driving around. Next thing I know, I saw a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle van.
Yeah.
And I pass a DeLorean and I'm like, oh my God, there's just so much random stuff. And I mean, I don't want to ruin it, so I'm not even going to mention anything else. But the whole time I was just like, yep. Oh,
it's
my
just,
God.
It's full of like 80s and early 90s nods to pop culture and stuff that was big growing up for anybody that liked games. So, yeah.
Especially anyone who enjoyed any type of, you know, 8-bit era games. And it's great just because it harkens back to, you know, when games were a little bit simpler. I mean, it doesn't take away the fun. It's all about the fun. But it gets rid of, you know, a lot of the stupidity that's, you know, kind of come into the industry a little bit, to the point where they're like, we want you to, you know, travel from point A to point B for, you know, 2 hours just so we can say our game is 40 hours long. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'd rather just be able to just start my mission. I don't really want to travel. Like, some days I just want to travel, like with Just Cause, like I was saying, where I don't even want to do the missions. I just want to goof around in the engine. And I mean, that's definitely something pretty interesting. So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Retro City Rampage. I was only able to play the first couple levels, but what I've played is great. And I, too, was a huge fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if anyone has listened to my guest appearance on Big Red Potion. I'm going to be posting that on the site later today. But me and Joe Delia went through and talked about basically the history of the brawler and just our lineage with it. And both of us were huge, huge fans of, you know, beat-em-up games back when we were younger. And we definitely... go through a lot of that, and it's great listen. I'm gonna have a link at the end of this podcast, so you should definitely check that out as well. And do you guys have any feedback?
I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to share my love for Castle Crashers. I'll just say it's a great couch co-op game. So, you know, if you have you know, someone to play with, I mean, that's just the ideal game, I would say. You know, I have no trouble recommending it to practically anyone. So yeah, definitely check
for those
out.
Of you keeping score, that is like 10 recommendations for Castle Crashers and zero non-recommendations. So I think you need to buy it by now.
I've got one. I don't know if we covered this or not. I haven't played it in a while, just because I got kind of sad that I didn't beat it on hard mode. But Shank is actually very, very fun. If you are into sort of like, how long can I keep this dead thing in the sky with bullets and knives and etc.? You will like Shank, because that game is very fun to just kind of like toss people and just, I'm going to keep going, you know, get my combos and all this, and the weapon switching. It was actually a really nice breath of fresh air for me. I hadn't played a game like that in so long. So yeah, I mean, if you think you'll like Dishwasher Vampire Smile, you'll like Shank too.
Personally really enjoyed Shank. I know a lot of people had problems with it just because it was so short, but I really enjoyed it despite the fact that it had a 1200 point price tag. I don't know if it's on sale now, but it's really, really a beautiful game when you look at it. It has a very Cartoon Network feel to it, and that's because the main artist, Jeff Agala, used to do the art for Atomic Betty on Cartoon Network, and he's kind of taken that art style and brought it over to Shank. And Shank, you know, has that whole mix of a Tarantino movie with, you know, just that grindhouse flick. And it's really, really interesting. And I really enjoyed it. And the art style is just so over the top. And you're just like, wow, I can do this. And I mean, it's stuff you've always wanted to do in games, you know, like get two guns and shoot the right hand across your left side of your body and the left hand across the right side of your body and shoot guys on both sides of you. And then just, you know, kind of move them around like crazy. And it's just awesome.
And there's co-op.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's all we have for you guys this week. But you can definitely check out the podcast. It's on iTunes again. At least it should be as of this recording. And we have a lot of stuff coming up for you guys. I know over the next month, we're going to be doing a big celebration for our birthday. And we're going to be looking at a lot of indie games and definitely giving out a lot more games. For those of you who aren't already aware, we've been giving out a game basically a day for the past week. And we're going to be giving out some shirts for Vampire Smile and some awesome figurines from Castle Crashers at the end of this week. So that's definitely something you guys need to check out. And you can follow the site on Twitter at XBLAFans. And you can follow me on Twitter at Kane141. Nope. And I'll let the guys do their own wrap-ups.
You can follow me, it's me, Todd, on Twitter at MSIEMESSAI.
Awesome. And I think we just lost Andrew real quick, but you can follow him.
Okay. Well, you can find me at Jonathan A. Cole, and I do a weekly podcast for castmedium.com.
And yeah, Andrew, we lost due to some power problems, but you can follow him at TwixPrintmatic, and we'll definitely have those all at the end in a post for you guys, so you don't actually have to write any of that down. And thanks for listening this week. We'll see you again next week.